Lifestyle icon Barbara B. Smith, or B as she was affectionately called by her many fans, passed away Saturday after a heroic public battle with early onset Alzheimer's. B. Smith was one of the first African-American models on the cover of Mademoiselle, then an entrepreneur, an A-list restaurateur with cookbooks, a magazine, home products, a syndicated TV show, B. Smith with Style, on which she glowed.
"'Tis the season to be stylish."
Since this is our last show before the holidays, we put together a sampler of our most beautiful seasonal ideas to share with you. Sensational centerpieces, glorious gift wrappings, terrific table settings.
But then things went very dark. Bea was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. She and her husband, Dan Gaspy, a respected producer, wrote a book early on, Before I Forget, Love, Hope, Help, and Acceptance in Our Fight Against Alzheimer's, to get the word out that African-Americans are twice as likely to get Alzheimer's as whites, and women are more likely to get it than men. But when Dan revealed, as Bea was fading, that he'd begun dating, he was vilified. Dan is not doing interviews today. Bea's death is too recent. But we thought our conversation from last June says so much about living with Alzheimer's. As it began, he was already speaking of B in the past tense.
"We had a relationship that we called a real 40. You know, in business, if you've got 40% of anything, you basically have a major stake, but you don't control. And we built the business around B. I was in television. I had done a lot of different things. But when we got together and she wanted to put on her first TV show, and after she wrote her first book, she came to me and said, 'Would you help me?' And I said, 'Of course.' It's tough, Robin, because for 27 years, we operated as two as one. Then one day you suddenly realize that you're looking at a person who can't talk to you with their eyes, and no matter how much you love them, things are sort of like a railroad track. If it's parallel, it goes on to infinity. But if a little bit is off, the further down the tracks you go, the farther it is away from parallel. And that's what happened with us. It derailed by virtue of us not being able to communicate."
Do I understand, still caring for her, still altogether, still in the home?
Robin, my biggest fear is that I die before her. Mm. We talked about the what ifs. She didn't want to be, as we talked about it, a can of corn, and I didn't want to be a can of corn. We wrote those things out in our wills, you know, about end-of-life proxies and things of that sort, which most people don't do.
No.
And I have to be candid with you, most African-Americans don't even want to talk about, because we have a tendency to think life is optional and death is optional.
Can you stay for a second, Dan, on just how difficult it is? And again, you know, you guys have means. We were just joking, and you said, you know, in some ways, in this beautiful home out on Long Island, you're sometimes kind of a prisoner along with her. She's imprisoned by the disease, but you're there too. You have to. How much do you have to do to safeguard her now?
It's a 24/7, 365 effort that you have to always be cognizant of, because at any given time, she could either walk away, she could eat something. Like, I'll give you a perfect example. The housekeeper uses Fabuloso, and Fabuloso looks like grape soda.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to be careful that we don't leave any detergents or soaps, because, you know, if you blink, she can take it.
Mm-hmm.
And quite honestly, Robin, what most people don't understand, whether you have means or not, the emotional toll is unbelievable. It takes everything out of you to see someone who is vibrant and brilliant and caring suddenly be reduced to not being able to understand anything.
Yeah.
It literally robs the person of their humanness, and they basically become a mammal.
Alzheimer's didn't just take Bea's memory of our 27 years together. It would often make her irrational and moody, you've said. She would sometimes lash out at you.
See, here's the thing. You talk to anyone who really understands the disease, the person is gone. Mm. They don't know their mother or their father. They don't know their children.
Does she know you?
She calls me daddy, or she'll call me her ex-husband's name before we met. You know, the caregiver basically is in a no-win situation. Everybody can have judgments, but they don't sit there at 3 o'clock in the morning and have to clean up after somebody went to the bathroom in the bed or on the floor. Nobody wants to talk about having to change somebody, or every time you bathe them, it's like a kabuki dance, trying to get them to take their clothes off and to clean them. Be understood that. We talked about this.
Let's go to, you know, what you're referring to. With this loneliness that you've been describing, watching B. Smith disappear, you met another woman in the area who was caring at the time for her father who was dying. She's a white woman that raised hackles. Her name is Alex. You became comrades in that, both being caregivers, and then you fell in love. And now she is your girlfriend, and now she is helping you and your daughter take care of B. Smith. And at first, when you shared this information, you know, you were thinking, oh, I have this respite. I want people to know that you can maybe have this kind of a respite. But the backlash was furious. What do you want people to know?
I wish the role was reversed and B was doing the same thing. I'd want her to be happy. You know, before you're black, you're a person. You're a human being. And it has taught me one thing about judgments and about people. The average person makes a judgment without any real knowledge.
You also want people to know that you and Barbara B. talked about what, you know, you each would want. And she told you what? She wanted you to have a life if hers started to fade.
She said to me, I know what this is. I know where it's going to take me. I want you to live your life. And what's so arguably sad is how telling the truth has created such a furor among people who have no clue who B. Smith is.
But just start with a woman. Are you hearing from people saying, how can you have another woman in your life when your wife is not gone yet?
Of course I'm hearing that. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying that I don't have a wife. I hid this for 5 years, and then I came out with this for 5 years, and I'm not going to let myself die in the name of what somebody else feels is right. So to have a situation where you can spend time with someone, you can share moments with someone, for people who want to do that, God bless them. But, you know, I've studied this, I understand, and there are thousands and tens of thousands of people. I get calls all the time from people who says, thank you for almost like coming out of the closet. Mm. Alex understood when we got into this relationship that, you know, just like if you have two kids and I fall in love with you, Robin, you know what? I don't get you and the kids are optional. You get the package. Mm. Alex does not live in my house. She has a room that she can put her stuff in. But most importantly, Robin, I did this because I saw how the African-American community in particular is dealing with a tsunami that is going to impact them over the next 20 years.
Well, when you say that's why you did this, you mean speaking out because of this wave that's going to hit African Americans. You've called this a 21st century civil rights issue.
Absolutely. Civil rights issue. It's an existential threat to the wealth and well-being of African Americans, and particularly the most predominant part of the African American community that has made the fastest gains, and that's women.
Look, you've called for a greater investment in research, education about diet and exercise habits that might stem this disease, research into why it's more affecting the African-American community. It could be because they are more susceptible to things like hypertension, cardiovascular disease. There might be some genetic markers. And you're calling on African-Americans to be a part of medical trials, which historically many are afraid of.
We're afraid of them because of Tuskegee, and we have to get over Tuskegee.
Yet this was the infamous government study of black men with syphilis, which did not treat them for the disease. Yeah.
My concern, quite honestly, is that in 2040, they will have found ways to mitigate Alzheimer's for vast swaths of the population. But because black folks are afraid of participating in drug trials, we're right where we were in 2000. That's my biggest concern. And I started to read and see how we're so afraid of dealing with the future and looking at things from a different perspective. That's what Bea understood. And she said, let's tell a story.
And it sounds like what you're saying to the African-American community is to take a clear-eyed look at what they may want, because statistically, they are going to, a huge number is going to be in the same situation you're in.
You know what? you can have faith in God, but you also have to believe in math. And math says that if we're twice as likely and we are over-indexing and hypertension, we got a better chance of having Alzheimer's and all forms of dementia. And the only thing I'm trying to do is say, pay attention.
Dan Gaspy, the former television executive who is the husband of Bee Smith, former model, restaurateur, just what a force of nature. Dan, thanks so much for talking to us. We wish you the best.
Robin, thank you for having me, and I appreciate you.
Our conversation from last June with Dan Gaspy, now the widower of Bee Smith, who died Saturday. His statement today reads, "Thank you to all the friends and fans who supported Bee and our family during her journey. Heaven is shining even brighter now that it's graced with Bee's dazzling and unforgettable smile."